الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أما بعد. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and send his salutations and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Unless the food is being cooked now and you're afraid you will miss it, I hope you don't go as of yet. Because the topic is critical for our spiritual well-being. And the khutbah basically began with the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, we as Muslims need to reflect on the perfection of our religion, the comprehensiveness of Islam. And when one does so, one realizes that Allah Azza wa Jal has divided the rights into two major categories. The rights of Allah, which basically comprise the fact that we should worship Him alone and associate none in worship with Him, love Him, magnify Him, glorify Him, which we are not doing very good at. We have some serious problems as Muslims in general, لَمَا رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, in regards to the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the rights of the creation, and on the top of the list is the right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom we're supposed to love more than loving ourselves and our children and our parents and the whole of mankind. And we're not doing very good in that either. And we mentioned the statement of the Sahaba, which we hear often when you read the hadith. You find that often the Sahaba will say, Bi abi wa ummi anta ya Rasulallah. And maybe someone doesn't know what that means. What it means is, I'm willing to offer in sacrifice, or I'm willing to lose my mother and father for your safety. So that was the stance of the Sahaba. Meaning, if you're given the choice, would you prefer that both of your parents die and the Prophet ﷺ remains alive, or the other way around, you will say, no, let my parents die as long as the Prophet ﷺ is unharmed and untouched. And obviously we don't feel this way either. And so this is an example of, if we're willing to give anything for the Prophet ﷺ, and we have our problems. In fact, we're told about a sunnah and we don't do it. Let's not go into the, I will offer my car and my house and my wife and children. No, this is too much for us. Let's simplify it. The Prophet ﷺ said this, and you will find a million excuses why I don't want to do it. It doesn't apply to me. This was then. The Shaykh said that this doesn't mean this. And we come up with all kinds of excuses to justify why we don't want to follow the sunnah. So that shows you the amount of love. We're not going to reach the level of the Sahaba and the sacrifice. A more basic form of it, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. We don't generalize, never generalize. When we say this, you say, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except those whom Allah has shown mercy. We ask Allah to make us among them. But the majority of the Muslims today are in this particular condition. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this situation where everybody's beating us up. But even that, we will not be discussing that. We will not be discussing the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is great, nor the right of the Prophet Alayhi Wasallam, which is also great. We'll be discussing a second kind of right, which falls right under the Prophet's right, Alayhi Wasallam, in terms of the creation. Because the right of the Creator, we're done with it. The right of the creation, the Prophet Alayhi Wasallam, and then right after, your parents. One's parents, mom and dad. Now, before we look into Islam and the teachings of Islam, let's go back a step further to human innate disposition. Human beings, the way they were created by nature, not nature created them, meaning in their nature, Allah created them with the nature of loving their parents and caring for their parents and looking after them. Even amongst the animal kingdom, you will see this behavior. In terms of parents showing mercy to their puppies and kittens and calves and whatever, and cubs, and vice versa. So this is something that is supposed to be a normal human conduct. So if we find that we're failing in this regard, not only we're not meeting the Islamic requirements, but also our human disposition is corrupt, is distorted, it's not normal, it's abnormal. But let's look at Islam. First and foremost, to know the level of the right which they have, we have to explore the ayah in Surah Al-Isra, which I'm sure you've heard probably hundreds of times in your life.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. Almost everyone can finish the ayah. Your Lord has decreed that you shall worship none but Him. And then the very next statement was وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and in regards to both parents, إِحْسَانًا. Now of course, if we go to the linguists and we ask them, what is the benefit of saying وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا and not وَأَحْسَنْ إِلَى وَالِدَيْنِ أو وَأَحْسَانًا إِلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ, there's a benefit in that. Why was the parents, which is the object of the sentence, put forward in the sentence? This is to emphasize and make somewhat of an exclusivity to their right. It's to put further emphasis on the thing which you want to pay attention to. So ihsan is important, but in this regard, it's the regard of the parents, the walidain, where this ihsan has to be done. Not that someone treats the people nicely and he treats his parents like trash. They have the biggest right in this regard. Then if you continue to read the ayat, it further explains it. If one of them or both of them attain old age while you are present, while you are alive, then do not say to them, uff, nor scold them. Now, uff is an expression of dissatisfaction. In Urdu or in maybe Indian, Pakistani culture, you may have another expression of dissatisfaction. Among English speakers, they may have something else. And among, you know, Chinese, this is not the issue. The issue is not the words, the issue is the feeling. The feeling of being annoyed by your parents and then saying something or doing something which manifests this feeling of yours. This is a problem. Not that someone says, well, I don't say oof, but I say, you know, damn you. Well, I didn't do it. Allah didn't say that. Don't get philosophical with the deen right now. The problem is in the behavior, in the conduct. But the ironic thing is that the smallest expression one may use to be dissatisfied is forbidden. Meaning we shouldn't say or do anything. Yani, to give you an example we can relate to, you just came home, you're exhausted. You've been working all day. You're about to pass out. And your mother, with all simplicity, says to you, go to Danube or to the supermarket and get some potatoes. You are not allowed to say, Mom, I'm tired. I just came home. I need to rest. Haram. See, this is, we don't know this. It's haram for you to even go. See this face? Mamnu'. You're supposed to be like the soldier with the commander in chief. I'm not gonna do the salutation, you know? Yes. Out the door. Smiling. Abshiri. It'll be my pleasure to get you the potatoes. This is a righteous son. Many of us think we're righteous because, you know, every couple of weeks we go to Speed Cash or Western Union and transfer some money. Khalas. I am the big sheikh. I'm the best son my parents have. La azizi la. This is only part of the obligation that you have and part of their right to give them fulus, because they became old and you're the one who's making money. When you were a young kid, they were spending on you. They were working and you weren't making money. So it's only payback time. You're not doing anything special. Don't think you're doing anything special. You're only paying back. And if you were to calculate the amount of money you pay now to what they spent on you, it will be 5%. From you, from 0 to 18 or 19 until you finish school. How much did they spend on school, tuition, clothing, food? Sheikh. And now you send 3,000 riyals, you think you've done the job. La. This is only one form. And jazakallah khair for sending money. We're not discouraging you from sending money. But that doesn't mean that you have become a righteous son. Until you're able to do what I gave you as an example earlier, we're not considered to have done the job of لا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما. Don't raise your voice, don't scold them as many people do today. I told you not to do this, I told you not to come at this time, I told you not to speak to my wife. Excuse you. Some people think that his wife is more important than his mother. Wallah, his wife, and you know the problems of the in-laws. Wallah, my wife doesn't like you. So please don't come over to our house. This wife of yours should be thrown out the window. This wicked creature that you have living with you at home, she doesn't like your mother. Who is she not to like your mother? But she is your mother and she is someone you met. She has no right to be imposing on you how to treat your mother. You as a man have to know how to deal with it. Yet some men go to extreme, wherein he doesn't acknowledge the presence of his wife. And she becomes a toy at home. So you as a man, you have to know how to do islah. You have to be intelligent. You have to know how to rectify. Make your wife happy. Make your mother happy diplomatically. Know how to arrange your affairs. Don't have them clash with each other. And don't ignore one on the expense of the other. You have to be a businessman at home. You have to know how to deal with these customers. These customers. A wife can drive you crazy and a mother can drive you crazy. But at the end of the day, all of the narrations are in regards to your mother, not your wife. Not one's wife. She's important, but she's secondary to the mother and the father, of course. So then, don't scold them, don't raise your voice over them. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say to them a noble expression, a noble statement, something nice and sweet, something that will bring happiness into their heart. And lower to them the wing of humiliation, the wing of mercy out of humiliation. يعني belittle yourself in front of them. And this is when you read this, the statements of the Salaf, our righteous predecessors, this is when you learn what that means. What does it mean? When one of them, like Ibn Sirin, when his mother would walk in, his face will change. Another one would be giving, he's a sheikh, big sheikh, and he has his students whom he's teaching. His mother will come and scream and say, go feed the chicken. His mother is just dealing with the farm and everything. She's an old school woman. Go feed the chicken. What does he do? Does he say, wallah, I'm Mawlana. Aib, yani, these are my students and I have a prestige. I'm the sheikh. He would get up like a little boy and go feed the chicken. Leave the students waiting. Because he was teaching them the deen in action, not the deen in words. Huh? It's not bravery that you ignore your mother and you keep with the students. It's bravery that you get up and listen to them even though you're teaching your students. That's how they used to be. Another one, he would not eat, Zain al-Abidin, he would not eat with his mother from the same plate. They said, ya Sheikh, what's wrong with you, man? Eat with your mother. He said, no. Why? He said, I'm afraid that my hand will fall on something, a part of the food which she had liked. And you know, you have a plate, you have chicken, you have beans and carrots and whatever. And maybe the mother, when they first put the plate, she eyed this one, you know, leg or chicken wing. So he's afraid now that he may wind up eating this wing which his mother had wanted and therefore deprive her of that chicken wing so he wouldn't eat with his mother to avoid the fitna. But of course, if your mother told you to come eat, what are you going to do? You come eat. Now you cannot say, wallah, I'm afraid, because your mother wants you to come eat. So this is his own stance. But if your parents were to tell you, come eat now, come eat. You're not hungry, eat. Allah will put a blessing in this food. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Eat a few bites to make them happy. But obey them when they tell you to do something which is not haram. And then at the end, make dua for them. Allah commanded, وَقُلْ say, رَبِّي my Lord, irhamhuma, have mercy on both of them, كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, as both of them raised me when I was young. This is the minimum requirement and the minimum payback to give them back what they did when you were young. So when you were young and you were this nasty, excuse me, yani, nasty all day, vomiting and defecating and urinating, it's just, you know, annoying little boy. All you do is cry and cry and cry. Who would deal with you? No one. Only your parents love you. Even though you're not really, yani, clean yet and you're always doing it on yourself and changing diapers all day, it's a big headache. Having babies is, there's a joy and there's responsibility. But who enjoyed this regardless? Your mom, your parents. When you cry, they cry. When you are sick, they don't sleep. Have you ever seen a parent, you know, their son is asleep, cannot sleep because of some sickness and they're in deep sleep? No way. The mother can never do it. She cannot. She will stay up as long as when he sleeps, she sleeps. If he wakes up, she wakes up. So who had this kind of mentality? Only the parents. And therefore, the minimum thing is to make dua for them at this particular stage. Then if you go to the hadith, we have some amazing hadith. And they are dealing with two opposite extremes.
The one extreme is shirk, and the other extreme is the best of deeds.
So in one hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, "Shall I not inform you of the most major of the major sins?"
Yani major sins are already major, huge. The most major of them, the worst sin ever,
he said, "Al-ishraku billah," to worship someone other than Allah, or to associate others with Allah and worship. Then he said, "Wa'aqukul walidain," and being undutiful to your parents. This is the biggest crime one of us can be involved in, subhanAllah. The biggest crime.
After leaving Islam. Because shirk is you leaving Islam.
Ya Mahandis. Shirk is leaving Islam. And the worst next sin is to associate, is to be undutiful to your parents.
On the other hand, he was asked twice, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he was asked, what are the best of deeds?
There's a difference between them. Afdalul a'mal, from fadila, aw fadl, aw mafdul ila akhirihi.
The best of deeds, he said, al-imanu billah, to believe in Allah. And then he said, wa birrul walidain, being dutiful to the parents. In another hadith, he was asked by Ibn Mas'ud, what are the most beloved deeds to Allah?
He said, alayhi salam, as-salatu ala waqtiha, praying on time. And we took maybe a 5-minute break as an excerpt from this khutbah, which is really irrelevant, about what does that mean? What does it mean, as-salatu ala waqtiha, and not fi waqtiha? And why did the Prophet ﷺ choose the preposition ala not fi? This is a lengthy discussion, I'm not going to deal with it now. But there's a benefit behind ala. Ala waqtiha. Ala kulli hal. The point being, praying on time. Which means that you pray when the time of prayer is there. And which means you pray in the beginning of the time.
So Fajr is prayed in the jama'ah, not at home. Not before, after sunrise, before going to work. It means that you come every single day to the house of Allah. And every single day you pray jama'ah, salatul fajr in the jama'ah, on time, with the imam, in takbirat al-ihram, in the first jama'ah. Not the second jama'ah, third jama'ah, fourth jama'ah.
Because according to many of the scholars, it's impermissible to hold another jama'ah in the same masjid. Yani in some of the countries, there can only be one jama'ah. If you miss the first jama'ah, you're praying on your own behind a pillar. You will not find someone who will join you in the salah. Why? The asl is one jama'ah. This is the one where the ajr is associated with it.
And we gave an example of Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah is this one of these amazing phenomena.
The khutbah is at 12:30. Yani it's afternoon. Unless you're, you know, how much sleep does one get?
Ya Shaykh Wallah, if you were to stay up till Fajr, let's say that you had a whole, you know, sahra, you were partying all night. Worst case scenario, and you slept from after Fajr, which is around 6 o'clock, till 11 o'clock, that's 5 hours of sleep, that's a lot. That's a lot. So why is it that people come at the end of the khutbah or during the khutbah? I still don't understand. Knowing, or maybe not knowing, that according to the authentic hadith, once the imam gets on this minbar and he starts speaking, the angels will close the scrolls. Because the angels write down the name of people as they come in. And once the imam begins, they close them. So if you come afterwards, no Jumu'ah for you. You will get to pray 2 rak'at. So you don't have to pray Dhuhr 4 because you joined the Jama'ah. But the ajr of Jumu'ah is gone with the wind. How many of us do this on a weekly basis? He hasn't prayed Jumu'ah in years. Because every Jumu'ah he wakes up at 12:15, 12:20 after the 10 different masajid, called the adhan, he's still sleeping, doesn't shower, put on whatever clothes, bring a sajada and he prays in front of the imam. Which means the salah is batila. Invalid salah. You cannot pray in front of the imam. The people who pray in the front here, they have no salah. It's shocking, but we need to be shocked. You cannot be in front of the imam. The imam is here. How are you going to pray in front of the imam on the street? You have to be behind the imam. No salah for them.
Every week is praying outside. Ya Akhil Aziz, come at 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12.
You find plenty of space in the masjid. Read some Quran, do some dhikr, send the salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, and khalas. Then go home and do what you want. But this is an example of how we become so detached from the truth of Islam in this regard. Salah on time. And then after salah on time, birr walidain, being dutiful to parents. These are the most beloved deeds to Allah. So if you fast Monday and Thursday, beautiful. You go on Umrah every other week, that's fantastic. You're giving sadaqah left and right, jazakallahu khairan. But still, this is not the most beloved deed to Allah. The most beloved deed to Allah is praying on time and being dutiful to your parents. So many of us, he's fasting on Monday and his mother's cursing him on Monday. Because he's not looking after her. And she needs him. And she may not want to tell him verbally that I need ABC, she's too shy. And he's in deep sleep while I'm fasting on Monday. But according to the ulama, your fasting is unacceptable. Allah will not accept this fasting of yours. Because the more important obligation of your parents has not been fulfilled. So we have to prioritize. This is the top of the list in priority. If you ask right now the average young man, I don't see any young people here, mashallah, everybody's old. Over here. Who's your best friend?
My best friend.
He's in school? What's his name? Give him salams, huh? See what I'm saying? Who's your best friend? Abdurrahman. No problem. That's what we're used to. But when a man asked the Prophet ﷺ the same question, he said, who has the most right to be my best companion? He told him, your mother. Fine, my mother. Then you think next there will be someone else after your mother. He said, then who? He said, then your mother. Twice. He said, okay, fine, twice, now a third time. Then we said, then your mother, three times. Then who? Then your father. Yani mother, 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 father, and then Abdurrahman. Or Abdullah. Nowadays, this is the last thing, man. Say name your friends. Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Muhammad, Mustafa, Rabi'a. And the mother and father are not even on the list. He writes you a big list of all the Facebook friends he has. 600. And none of them is the mother or father. But in Islam, it's supposed to be this way. Subhanallah, Allah musta'an, I don't know what to say. So imagine now how one should be with his mother. His mother is supposed to be his friend. You tell her what's going on, you share with her your sorrow, your feelings, this and that. She gives you advice. Who's going to give you the best advice in the world? Your mother. She loves you so much, she's so worried about you and every little thing that no one can give you a more sincere advice than your own mother. Because there's no interest for her. There's no financial interest or some other interest. Her thing is your well-being. This is why she should be the best friend. These are some of the narrations. Some of the narrations, and we can go on. I mean, there are many, many hadith. It's a whole lecture, actually. But then, if we jump back to the second part of the khutbah, I mentioned the issue of one's parents who are not really treating him well. The shaitan will come to one of us and say, look, your father's ta'ban aslan. And he mistreats you, he curses you out, he takes your money. And so you have the right to mistreat him the same way he's mistreating you. It's just, only fair. And this is wrong. Because the Quran says it's wrong. The Quran explicitly says in Surah Luqman, we have enjoined upon the son of Adam, upon the insan, walidayh, being kind to his parents. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, if both of them struggle, jihad, look at the word, jahada, ala an tushrika bi, that you will associate, they were forcing you, they were Hindus, maybe they're Buddhists, maybe they're Christians, whatever, they're forcing you to leave Islam and to worship other than Allah. Fala tuti'huma, Allah said, do not obey them. But then Allah said right afterwards, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. However, be a sahib of theirs, be a companion of theirs in this dunya in the best way possible, ma'roof. So even the mushrik parents, Allah did not allow that they are mistreated. The only part we don't obey them is when they tell us to disobey Allah. But if it is not the case, we still have to treat them with dutifulness. That what about when our parents are Muslims who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah alayhi sallam? Then what do you think the level of treatment should be? And the Prophet ﷺ said that he shall not enter paradise, the one who is undutiful. لا يدخل الجنة عبد. Not allowed in. No permit. So one of us could waste his whole life to Siyam and Salah and Hajj and Umrah and this and that. At the end of the day, the block which will prevent him from entering Jannah is undutifulness. It will ruin the whole thing. The whole formula will go to crumble to the ground. So we should understand that this is the most important thing. After you become a Muslim, the most important thing is your parents. Don't be cheap and not say, well, I'm going to save money. You know, phone calls cost too much. So you call them less often than usual, and you call them for a short period of time. But mashallah, when you're speaking to your friend about a business transaction, you don't get off the phone. This is not the time to save money. The time to save money is in things that are not beneficial. But in things which will get you closer to Allah, speak on the phone, ya akhi. Stay on the phone until they're done. Call them often, check on them, how are you doing? Sending them money is a given. I'm not even going to discuss that. If one of us is sitting here and his parents need money and he doesn't send them money, I have no words for you. No words for you. I'm assuming all of us, inshallah, we are at least the minimum level that we look after our parents financially. We're speaking now beyond that. Don't wait for them to tell you. This is not ihsan according to the ulama. This is only, being average. Ihsan is that you investigate. Maybe from the neighbors, maybe from your siblings who are overseas. Huh, what does my mom need? They say, wallah, the fridge broke down. Don't wait for your mother to send you a message or tell you that the fridge broke down. You know the fridge broke down. You do something about it before they even ask. Now, can you imagine if your mother walks into the kitchen and she finds the fridge working? How is this working? Wallah, Fulan, your son, Muhammad, he knew that the fridge was broken, so he sent money, ala tool, and we bought a new fridge and we fixed it. The one dua your mother makes for you at that in that kitchen could be your ticket to Jannah. And all of your deeds are worthless. This one dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts. So how many chances do we get to, and the parents love to make dua, investment. Instead, a'udhu billah, some of us, the parents are making dua against them. That they don't look after them. So this, we're missing out on this issue big time. Therefore, we need to reshuffle. We need to shuffle our priorities in life. The most important thing is submission to Allah. Next in line, following the Prophet ﷺ. Next in line, the parents. Whatever they want, however they want, if it's halal, do it. Allah will bless you beyond your expectation. This is a promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But we have to do this. We have to stop being stingy. We have to stop being evil. We have to stop being negligent concerning our parents. If they're alive, it's easy. Alhamdulillah. You can go right now and make a phone call, say, I apologize. And we should do this. Call them, say, I apologize if I have any shortcomings. Forgive me. You have to make sure that they have forgiven you. And they love to forgive. Inshallah. You will hardly find a parent who will have a grudge. If you apologize sincerely, no matter what you've done, they will forgive you. But ask for this forgiveness for the past. Because none of us should think that he's been doing his job properly. And then promise them never to do it again. If they're here, go kiss their hands. If they're dead, we ask Allah to have mercy on them. It's still, you have an obligation to make dua for them. The most important thing is dua. And to you can give sadaqah on their behalf. And you can do hajj and umrah on their behalf. These are authentic traditions from the Prophet ﷺ. As for reading the Quran and this or prayer, doesn't work. We don't have any evidence to the effect that you can read surah kada kada and then give it as a gift or the ajr to the dead people. There's no such thing in Islam. This is popular among some, but there's no authentic evidence to support it. What we have is hajj, umrah, sadaqah. If they had owed some days of Ramadan which they weren't able to fast, you fast on their behalf for the days which they owed and things like that. But the most important thing is this dua that you continually ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive them, to shower them with His mercy, to pardon them, to so on and so forth. This is something ongoing until one of us dies, if his parents have passed away. If they're alive, there's still a chance. But the important thing is we leave this masjid with this new realization that we thought we were doing good, but the truth is we have shortcomings. But alhamdulillah, we're alive to do something about it. Alhamdulillah, we're alive that Allah facilitated that these reminders come. Because we need the reminder. We forget. I'm sure you know all of this. But now when the reminder comes, you say, yes, I'm going to do it. Why? Because this is the hikmah of Allah. Dhikr, the dhikrah. It benefits the believers. So we want to benefit from this reminder, not only say it sounds nice, but to actually implement it as soon as we leave this masjid. Each one knows the areas of shortcomings and how he can better his relationship with his parents. So each one of us does what he knows is good for him. But inshallah, if we do so, this will bring about the success of this life and the life to come. Jazakumullah khair for sticking around, even though it's lunchtime. Wa sallallahu wa sallam.